Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, presented to you by the Combined Arms Doctrine Directorate at the Combined Arms Center at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The views expressed here are those of the individual and do not represent the views of the Combined Arms Center, U.S. Army, or U.S. government.
Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, a U.S. Army Combined Arms Center podcast on emerging doctrine and the Army's vision of warfare. Hello, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and I'm your host through our 12 Days of Doctrine. Today, on the seventh day of doctrine, Special Doctrine Division is giving to you, our listeners, a cookbook. Now hear me out on this gift. Have you watched America's Test Kitchen or used their recipes? Now I hopped on their website and found that they have a four-step approach that yields their fail-proof recipes. They have the best recipes by first, listen and learn. Second, research first. Third, test again and again. And the last step is survey and publish. In today's episode, I sit down with Lieutenant Colonel Mike Herbeck from the Maneuver Center of Excellence at Fort Moore, Georgia. Now, there are a lot of initiatives going on at MCOE. Each initiative takes exactly the four steps that America's Test Kitchen uses for their recipes. Here are the steps again. Listen and learn. Research first. Test again and again. And finally, survey and publish. See how Mike and his team are building recipes for success on the battlefield. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Now, this morning you were talking to the Doctrine Developers Forum. And from what you were saying, I realized how there's so much change going on in the Maneuver Center of Excellence, or MCOE. I think that within the doctrine community, we like to say that doctrine drives change. It's the first part of the acronym .milpf. But I really think that you showed this morning how the materiel and organizational pieces are really big drivers of change down at MCOE. So could you speak to what you're seeing?
So in terms of equipment and new stuff that's coming out, robotics is the big piece right now, all part of that modernization effort for the Army. And so Futures Command, they're the ones primarily responsible or coming up with what is equipment, what is required, what equipment will fill that gap, and then what do those formations look like? As I understand it, you know, in the beginning, it's all going to be semi-autonomous equipment. You know, fully autonomous is way in the future. Mm-hmm. So it's that balance. It's the semi-autonomous and the robotics as well as the drones as well. So whether tethered or non-tethered drones, and coming up with a formation that will be put into either the infantry brigade combat teams or whatever they're called in the future, and the armor brigade combat teams, coming up with that design. And I can't say specifically what that looks like now just because it's changing. It's constantly changing. During the Warfighter Conference, there was some discussion about what type of vehicles and how many vehicles will be going into these. What they're called right now is either HMI, I, or A, so whether it's infantry or armor.
What's HMI?
So HMI is the human-machine integration. So that's kind of like, as I understand it, the umbrella term for all the different robotics that are going to be involved in a particular formation. So it's knowing that these formations are coming down, and then how are they going to be incorporated into the different formation types. As of right now, we've stood up sort of out of hide our own. So within our doctrine branches, we have the armored infantry, striker, and cavalry. We also have now a separate HMI or human machine integration branch that we're kind of piecing together now. And it's not just our effort. So it's incorporating our counterparts over Armored Futures Command, or the different AFC components. They're responsible for different elements, the different robotic systems that are out there. And as well as the task developments, individual or the collective task developments and the training requirements for those pieces of equipment. So it's a group effort across not only .D, but also AFC as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's one, what do those things look like? What do those formations look like? And then how are we going to incorporate them? Some of the big questions that we've got are with the different sensors that are out there. And that's still also under a discussion of what different packages go in these robots and what sort of different pieces of equipment are they sensing, are they kinetic, but how does that increase then the depth that a battalion or a brigade has on the battlefield? So that's one of the questions we're going around now is we had these sort of conventional ideas of a certain size of a footprint that a brigade or battalion would be responsible for, but now with some of these sensors, It's a lot more than it was before. And so kind of going into what was previously considered a division rear area, and so that balance there. And so that's some of the discussions we're going to have here.
So, you know, doctrine is not concepts, but it seems like you still have to stay nested with AFC. So it's not 5 years down the road, and then we're starting to look at the doctrine. You're trying to...
Correct. Our branches are very nested, they work hand in hand with their ACM counterparts. And so nothing is ever truly a surprise of something that is being worked on or considered for the future. They had their own .milpf integrators, but we also work hand in hand with them, whether it's sitting in on their morning bubs or any other time, especially when they go out to different CTCs to observe these different tests for these systems, because some of these gone through different, as I've said, the design or the formation of what these look like have gone through various different experiments, whether through the battle lab at Fort Moore or actually out at one of the CTs, one of the dirt CTCs. And so we try and send our guys out as well to observe that. So actually watching this equipment in use, in experimentation, and just gather the notes, gather the lessons, and start building that sort of rough author's draft, if you will, of what does the tactical employment of this thing look like or this formation look like. So it's right now it's definitely in the mission analysis, gathering information phase, and gathering the tools, at least for the HMIs part of it. We've also started incorporating as drones and small UAS are very, very prevalent on various battlefields out there now. How do we then incorporate that into the books that we're currently writing right now? And so for us, it's primarily how can that platoon leader, company commander, battalion commander incorporate this capability in their formation on how they could best use it? What is the technique for using it? Because right now, as we've seen, particularly in Ukraine and Russia, every time there's an action, there's a counteraction. It is a back and forth. So to say that something this is the best way to do it or a technique for doing it today, 2 weeks later or a month later, that's already changed. So it's really in generalities now in terms of how you can to include it in the planning process to assist you with whether it's a route reconnaissance or whether it's just looking out, what's on the next ridge line or behind the next building for those more smaller echelon forces.
It reminds me of, like not to date ourselves, but Iraq or Afghanistan, where the IED fight, and that was like continuously changing. And so it always kind of stayed, or my impression was that it always kind of stayed in the TTP realm and didn't necessarily get into doctrine because it always was changing. They couldn't be specific in doctrine.
No, because it was, as soon as there was a certain type of IED that was out there, whether it was operated by an individual or EFPs or pressure plate or, pick your detonate, your mechanism for detonating it. There was a constant cycle of what are we seeing, how we're reacting to it. And so that's a very similar, at least from our perspective and everybody else, I think we've heard today or this past week, recognizing that do we fight the actual system itself, the piece of equipment, or is it, as one of the presenters said, getting left of the zoom? Maybe say getting left of the boom with IEDs, getting more into it, which is kind of a little bit more outside the realm of what perhaps a maneuvering element, at least that the company or platoon would do initially. But the answer is somewhere in there.
So speaking of UAS, I know there's a lot of initiatives at MCO about that too, training folks in BCT, basic combat training on those TTPs. And so how are you guys nested within that training piece?
So we assist. So one of the pieces that we've developed, and some of the listeners may have already read it, and by the time they hear this, it may have already been changed. But we initially to address is the different drills. So reacting to UAS, whether mounted or dismounted, and those are being incorporated at the basic combat training as well as into the different courses, whether it's iBullock, ABullock, Ranger School, ArSLIC. Those are being used. And so it was our first hack at what, here's how we think based on what we've seen so far, the best ways to react to a drone, depending on what it's doing, whether it's actively attacking you, whether it's just observing you, or whether it's just moving through your space. And so those have been used. And we were already getting great feedback from the courses that are incorporating it, as well as operational forces that have been using it for real, to ensure that that what we're providing in the battle drills there are that you can actually do and doesn't subject you to further danger, whether you are giving away your position or whether you are somehow impeding your mission by following the drill exactly to the T. So it's a great dialogue back and forth between the actual users and us as the developers, because with the drills, we can change that quickly. It doesn't go through the same sort of lengthy process as a doctrine development does. The drill can be corrected and changed and uploaded to CATS or uploaded to the car very quickly.
Man, it just reminds me of like Lieutenant Days, because it's a very similar, okay, you know that the IDs are going to be changing. You were expecting for those TTPs to change.
Yes, getting it's the trick is then getting the information out and making people aware that the changes have been made. If we do change a drill or we're seeing something that's new or different that's coming from him, it's, we have to be careful. And a lot of other senior leaders have said, being careful to look at Ukraine for lessons learned or lessons observed.
Yeah.
And so that balance of, is it, okay, we're just watching and seeing how these two particular armies are doing things against each other versus how we would necessarily do it. But the answer somewhere in there is it providing not necessarily a super detailed, here's exactly how you do things, but here are the, or how to react, but these are the generalities of what to be aware for, and knowing that you're trying to minimize your signature through personal camouflage, through radio discipline, and being aware of the different type of sensors that are out there and then moving within that space to minimize your footprint or minimize your presence as much as possible. But it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder now to move around and not be seen during day or night now, especially with these small little $300 drones that are out there. Pick your company that made it. Literally, it doesn't matter. It's just this tech, this capability that's now out there. So,
yeah, I guess the difference from when we were growing up to today is we're not the ones in contact. So there's a little bit different urgency.
Yep. Sometimes when you're faced with an existential crisis, your reaction to things are much quicker, and your ability to take maybe some risk in terms of how you come up with ways to counter things are, you're willing to try something different, whereas right now we're in more the observe role and experimentation. So we have the luxury and we're afforded the ability to have some time to think these things through. But never know what tomorrow has or what tomorrow brings. So
yeah, I want to shift to transformation contact, because that's kind of on the Chief of Staff of the Army General George's spectrum. That's the really near term stuff. How are you guys incorporating that and bringing it back to what you do?
So initially, So one, if we can go out to a CTC and actually watch them, we've had representatives go up to Fort Campbell for some exercises or down to JRTC. We'll have someone going out here in the fall to watch one of the 225's exercises out in the Pacific. And so it's going out there, one, to observe, to see how are they approaching the problem set that they've been given with the formation type that they have. And then it's receiving feedback from the organizations themselves. So whether it's through the different... So infantry warfighting form or through papers that are being generated by the unit themselves, and then pulling those in and really observing right now, because we have to be careful, because right now these formations are really just single brigades across different divisions. And so and they are still trying new formations or trying new equipment sets and trying new things. And so we don't want to jump too quickly on something they're doing. And then by the time it comes out in doctrine, lessons that I learned, time has passed, that thing, that equipment, that formation, that ad hoc organization that they created maybe didn't work out as well. So it's an interesting space to be in, to not to be too quick to react in terms of what's coming out, but being able to see what are those trends that are consistent across all of them and the same issues that they're having, whether it's command and control, whether it's some of the big issues that are coming out post-RStruck, but also part of the transformation contact is that with that loss of those cavalry squadrons within their formations, how are those formations, what are they doing to replace that reconnaissance component? Whether it's one of the multi-purpose companies or the multi-function reconnaissance companies that these formations are coming up with, how are they getting after that reconnaissance and security requirement? We recognize that within doctrine, we still have FM-398 reconnaissance and security that talks about the fundamentals of reconnaissance and security, not necessarily tied to a particular type of formation. It doesn't just have to be a cavalry squadron doing that. So how to use that as a foundation and then incorporate what they're doing. Just look at after that reconnaissance, that traditional RNS mission that was held by the CAT squadron.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily changing doctrine. It's also validating doctrine, right? Saying like, hey, our RNS doctrine is solid.
It's still there, because it's even in the introduction to the book there, though it says, this is for cavalry squadrons or organizations doing a reconnaissance security mission. It doesn't necessarily mean, because that can be a task-organized company or even a battalion within a brigade that, hey, you may be a conventional infantry battalion, but you're going to be re-task-organized for this particular mission or series of missions to perform a reconnaissance security role for the brigade or for the division. The fundamentals are there. The fundamentals are currently existing. But then we're then watching, okay, is there something that changes? Is there a little bit of a tweak or something that needs to be made to our books to react or to see what's going on for these new brigades here? Because there's still multiple, as I understand it, there's four different ticks coming through over the coming years. And so it's not just this one, these three brigades, not the first one. There will be multiple phases. So we'll be involved in, you know, whether it's with the ACIMs, whether it's through observing the actual units, and then to continue watching these earlier brigades and how they've managed to, through the years, on their lessons learned.
As far as the book are coming out in the form, I think you talked about the first year you're going to watch what units are doing and how they're operating. Can you talk about how your team is evolving with that new equipment?
So we had, and this is a little bit, this is one of those things where, you know, this piece of equipment's coming out and then having Doctrine ideally close behind for those formations to use. About an entire surprise that the blooper is coming out. You know, there was a discussion for a number of years, but in terms of what, the specific platform and when it was going to go somewhere and when that the training would begin, we started at least with what we called a playbook internal to the organization. And it was using historical references from, you know, either some from World War II, from the 1950s, looking at what had been the Sheridan doctrine, which was that light armored vehicle designed to be used in conjunction with the airborne operations, and then what was going to be the replacement for the Sheridan, the XM-8 or the M-8, which never came to fruition. But there was already a foundation there for a way to start. You know, how do we incorporate armor, a medium tank, into infantry formation? So we already had a foundation to start from. So we used that, and we looked at different ways, like how could these different this platform be incorporated into an infantry formation? Understanding the whole time that the Booker supports the infantry. It is an infantry support vehicle. And so how can that be used? And so we built this playbook. We passed it around through the MCOE and through our ACIM counterparts, sitting down with the Armor Commandant, both past and then the current Armor Commandant, getting his input. And so this will help, because right now the units that's receiving the Booker is going through IOT&E, or initial operations, training and evaluations, at Fort Liberty right now. And so they're going through the very early phases of learning the vehicle and going through gunnery, and they'll start their collective training in force-on-force later in the winter into the spring of next year. So starting off with this playbook, we're doing a leaders teach here in the fall to some of the key leaders down there at Liberty that are involved, that will have the Booker in their formation to say, here's how we think, you know, historically, and then looking at, you know, in the future, here's how we think it'll be incorporated. And so having that as a starting point, seeing how that's incorporated during the force-on-force, what lessons they learn during actual, you know, putting the vehicle out there against a, you know, replicated enemy, and seeing, okay, did our anticipated ways of implementation hold up, or is this something we need to go back and add a different, you know, some more to it or take out? And then so between the playbook there and then between watching the training this winter into the spring, we're looking to have something, an ATP out there sometime in the late summer of next year. It's kind of it's a fast timeline, but that timeline could also push to the right a little bit, just depending upon how things are going and based upon different input that we received during our draft staffings for that publication.
And then do you feel like you are getting a good feedback from the force?
There is communication, but, you know, it can always be better.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes we're just limited on how many times, you know, whether it's through just the calendar or through funding, getting people out to observe, and then whether that unit themselves are creating their own lessons learned or their own AERs for their events. Sometimes those things do stay within the formation, and it takes a little bit longer for them to kind of codify something and push it out, not just for us to read, but for anybody else that wants to know what they're doing. So yes, we are, but it can always be better. And you don't want to develop anything in a vacuum. You don't want to develop anything while sitting in a cubicle and not being actively involved in what's actually happening. So the secret sauce within our organization is that thread of continuity with the DA civilians that work in our organization. You know, we want to get the green suiters in there because they have the most relevant and most recent experience in terms of how things are being done. But we've got, you know, men and women who've been there for 10, 15 plus years. And so that's how we're able to keep moving forward with things, even as green suiters rotate in and out on a either scheduled basis or a unanticipated departure basis, which sometimes happens. So I think the big thing to know is that we are linked in with the whole transformation and contact and modernization effort. Those are our top priorities there within our doctrine development, not just doctrine, but for everybody within .D. And so to ensure that we are at the right place at the right time with the right people to get that information, to see those observations, to be a part of the discussions, that's at the forefront of everything we do right now. So we want to make sure that what goes in there and what is written is the most recent, the most current, and has at least some shelf life before it comes up time for revision.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Just like writing new doctrine is a team effort, breaking doctrine takes a team. Without the Curran Special Doctrine Division here at CAD, we wouldn't be able to bring you this show. Please don't forget to subscribe on Amazon Music, Apple, Odyssey, Audible, Spotify, or YouTube. Also, go ahead and follow us on social media at U.S. Army Doctrine to get updates on new podcasts, Doctrine Digest videos, and publications. Finally, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official position of the United States Army, the U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command, or the Combined Arms Center. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and this has been Breaking Doctrine.